Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Friday. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast. Once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ again with you. Thank God for all you listening to the broadcast, no matter what part of the world you're listening to the broadcast at. And it doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, we want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any questions about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone line will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over there, contact us at the email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWRD2MAN at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed Friday. And for those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, you know it means heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens as we await for my brother to come on and head this off. Wherever you're listening to me at right now, why don't you join in me with me in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again, Lord God, that you have blessed us on this glorious day. You have given us this opportunity to go into the Word of God today. You have blessed us, Lord God, with ears to hear and eyes to see. And Lord God, you have given your spirit to those who have accepted you. This day, Lord God, we pray that those who are listening in on the broadcast will be touched by the Spirit of God. The Lord, that you awaken those that are sleeping and those that are hard or deaf in the ears, that, Lord God, that you would cause them to be able to hear again. So, Lord God, we just thank you, Lord God, for such an opportunity as this that you have given us this day. In Jesus' almighty name, glory to God. We thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. Glory be to God. So we thank God for another blessed day. Thank God for all you've been listening. And as we await for my brother to come on, I just say to all of you that have accepted Christ as Lord, get prepared and get ready in the Lord. Get prepared to make a stand. And the best way you're going to be able to do that is that you have to be more consecrated unto the Lord and more into the things of the Spirit. I was looking the other day on the news, and I saw something interesting concerning Burger King. And the thing was that they titled it that Burger King was calling itself taking a swipe back at Chick-fil-A. And what they're doing is, from what I understand, is that, you know, many of us know Burger King from burgers, but we know they also sell chicken sandwiches. And so some of you may have heard about Chick-fil-A a few years ago. There was that thing about the owner said, hey, he don't honor same-sex marriages, and I thank God for that. Even though I had heard at one point later on, he kind of recanted on it. But for those of y'all that have been listening, you remember that they had back then the people that was into homosexuality and same-sex marriages thing called Kiss a Chick. And so they was going to call themselves performing it on this particular day in Chick-fil-A. But, you know, I see how the Lord moved that day. Because Chick-fil-A had so much business that the folk weren't even paying attention to those people. But anyhow, fast forward to now, the other day, it had on there that about Burger King taking a swipe at Chick-fil-A. I guess Chick-fil-A must have stood again concerning same-sex marriages, whatever. But they said that Burger King, now you know Chick-fil-A deal with chicken for the most part. They said Burger King, when of the sale of their chicken sandwiches, was going to donate their proceeds to the LGBTQ community. So I'm going to be straight up with y'all. I said to myself, you ain't got to worry about me buying your chicken. Okay. And I'm telling you, people, you need to hear this, because things has been, Satan is ramping up the intensity. Okay. And some of you who go into church services, and you thinking that's all it is. Go to service, say a cup of hallelujah, fall on the ground, get up, and you go home. It's more than that. If you don't develop a personal relationship with Christ and knowing him for yourself, that you may be able to stand when other people leave, you're going to be in bad shape. Now, they, like I said, they take it. They said they're taking a swipe. This is what they had in the news. I don't know if Burger King came out and made a statement that, hey, we're taking a swipe. That's how they had it titled in a sense. But donating the proceeds to the LGBTQ community. Listen, you also become a partaker when you engage in stuff like that, okay? There was one time I asked the pastor where this woman, she had called in with a question, and I think she said her granddaughter was getting married, and her granddaughter was marrying another woman, and she was telling the pastor panel, say, hey, well, I'm against homosexuality, same-sex marriage, but, you know, I don't want to disappoint my granddaughter. You know, she come and ask me to be at the wedding. Shall I go? Blah, 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 and all that. And I say to that, I said, well, you don't stop loving your grandchildren. But when it comes to standing on truth, you have to make a firm stand. Now, I had heard one pastor on that said, well, yeah, I still go. But, you know, they know where I stand. Yeah, by your just your mouth, okay? They know by, you know, we got to understand, most anybody can say anything, okay? But it's what you're saying and what you're standing on together is what counts, okay? You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah, okay? And people don't understand. They think they just can say stuff all the time and don't show no backup. You know, when Jesus talks about repentance, you remember reading in the Bible, he said, bring forth fruit meet worthy for repentance. Then he said, bring forth works meet. But what he's saying, that there's an action. There has to be an action to show that you have truly repented. So Jesus took it past you just saying, oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for doing that. That's part of it. Repentance also means, when you look up the definition, to turn from sin. Okay? So if you're stealing somebody's money, and you say, oh, I'm sorry, but you just keep stealing it, then you ain't fully repent. Only thing you did was you spoke by mouth, but you did not turn away from it. And that's why any curse that come has a right to keep coming, because you have not fully repented, okay? So you can hang on words of mouth, okay? And you can say, oh, they know where I stand, but it got to be some kind of action behind what you're saying, because if not, all you is a talker. It got to be some action, okay? If I had a business and a homosexual couple wanted me to do something to honor their homosexual marriage through my business, I'm not going to do that, okay? I'm not going to do it. Now, some of you say, why? Well, because you become a partaker. I mean, I'm not going to go. If Islam in there worshiping Allah, I'm not going to say, well, I don't believe in Allah, but I'm just going to go in there and for the sake of peace and just do it. No, that don't work, people. It don't work. Now, I'm not trying to be funny when I'm saying this. I'm being straight up and honest with you. And see, some of us as Christians, we're asleep. You don't see what's happening and what's brewing and what's going to come about. This thing is going to be very challenging and very testing to your faith. So you can continue to take this thing light all you want to. That's your business. Only thing God gives us to do is to warn you. But I know if you don't heed it and you be taken down, and you look up to God, especially on Judgment Day, and say, well, Lord, I didn't know. God going to have to call you out and say, you're lying, okay? Because you've been warned. People, these things, this is serious, okay? You seeing more of these businesses, well-known, well-named businesses, is taking part in abomination. They're supporting it, okay? And we got to make a decision, you know? And see, can't nobody make a decision for you. Understand that. You can't be looking to your pastor or his wife or your husband or your children or your good friends or your close kin folks, you can't look to them to make that decision. This decision is going to be personal, okay? This is a personal decision you have to make. So you can continue to say about saying, hey, I'm against that, blah, blah, blah. They know where I stand, all of that. You can say that. But if you're saying it and doing the opposite, then people are going to call you what? A hypocrite. I'm telling you, okay? You think these sinners is not watching you as a Christian? Well, you can think again. And if you don't believe me, go out there and just do something because you're trying to fit in and see what they say. Oh, man, I thought you were saved. Man, all that time you were talking to us about not smoking drugs, here you is with us puffing in the car. Amen. And I was just looking at that on the news, you know, the other day on my laptop news. I was looking at that. And people, I'm telling you, it's tightening up, people. It's tightening up. It really is. And be prepared because there are going to be certain relationships that's going to break up. Why is that? Because you're going to have one that say, hey, ain't nothing wrong with that, which God calls abomination. It's okay. It ain't hurt nobody. Then you're going to have the other say, but you know what the Lord calls abomination? He calls it sin. He calls it iniquity. He calls it wickedness. And I can't support that. So what's that going to do? It's going to cause a rift. Now, some of you said, well, we should be able to agree to disagree. Well, in a sense, we should. But what I'm telling you is there are going to be some things, especially when you're dealing with sin and abomination, that God calls straight out sin or abomination. Okay, we're supposed to be calling that together. I mean, since God called, ain't no if, since God calls homosexuality an abomination, how has it looked that one Christian said, well, it's abomination because God told us, and I know I agree. But the other Christian said, well, I don't think nothing's wrong with it. I think it's okay. I think that, you know, to each his own. That's going to cause a rift, especially when it's dealing with sin, okay? You understand that? See, especially when they're dealing with sin, and you got two Christians, you know, and one Christian called it sin, the other one said, well, it ain't sin. And let's say the word of God clearly lets you know it's sin. You know, you can't stand together, okay? There are some things, especially in the word of God, that God straight out, no shadow of doubt, no room for having to figure out, okay, sin, lets you know what it is. And you have some people in these churches where the word of God plainly tells you this thing, abomination, and they still trying to, I don't know the right word for it, cover over it. I don't know if that's the right word or some other word, but they just trying to make it like, well, it's nothing wrong with it. You know, God was against it back then, but, you know, he loved everybody today. That's what's happening. So with the Chick-fil-A thing, the overall owner, I hope he continue to stand. If that's what he did for them to say, hey, Burger King is, quote, calling itself taking a swipe at him. But I want you to understand, and I pray that he understand that in this day and time, especially in this nation, when you stand against abomination and you have especially a business, they're going to be one of the first areas Satan's going to go at to attack. And what's going to happen is it's going to show where your heart at. And if your heart is on that business and you start see fewer and fewer people coming, buying from you, they looking at your way and walking off and all this stuff, and you going through a whole day not seeing one customer, and you can't handle it, then you're going to compromise. And what's going to happen is it's going to show where your heart really is. Your heart is in your money, is in the business. You understand what I'm saying? I wish I could stress how serious this is, but it's very serious. Very serious. Very, very serious. And I can't stress that enough to you. And see, we got to understand that, you know, today is the day of decision. And even for us as Christians, because there's something we've been dodging over, running around, running away from and all that. And now the day has come that you have to make a decision personally whether you're going to stand with the Lord and come through that thing, or you're going to throw your hands up and compromise to join that thing. Okay? And remember, your husband, your wife can't make that decision for you. Mama, grandmama, granddaddy, or daddy can't do it. Kids cannot make it for you. Kin folks that you're close to for ever since you've been born can't make that decision for you. You have to make that decision. And I'm just watching more and more how that the intensity is being ramped up. And for many of us, it's done right before our eyes and we don't see it. And you know why? One of the reasons we don't see it, and I have to say this and not be offensive, because we have preached that we're going to be gone any day now to the people, that the people are fully believing that they can open their front door one morning, walk out, and shoot, they gone. So in their minds, why would I need to prepare to stand for greater things that is about to come in challenging my faith? Why would I need to stand? For what? I can be gone anything. I mean, I ain't got to worry about that. I'm a Christian. I ain't got in the front door. What I need to worry about that for? Telling you, that preaching and teaching have gotten a stronghold on people, okay? I'm telling you, man, if they're one of the teachers in this day and time that I say have done it, it is that. And you got folks believing any day now they can be gone. And whenever you talk to them about greater things to come, yet to come, that you need to prepare in the faith, because your faith is going to be more and more greatly challenged, they look at you like, oh, man, don't tell me that, because I'm not going to be here. Amen. And so these businesses are showing you and going to show you upcoming soon and in the future, there are more and more support for abominations, for wickedness, okay? And you're going to see more and more sin be said to be okay, to be justified. You're going to see things that will be shameful and embarrassing to do in public be done. You look at, now this month they celebrate what they call gay pride. And if any of y'all saw the first year they started that, and each year they doing this, what are they doing? Especially men going with men and putting their hands on one another's behind, all in public, in the road. Now, once upon a time, that used to be shameful, okay, to do something like that. Once upon a time, when men was operating that kind of spirit, they would try to keep it hid. I know when I was growing up in the streets of Chicago and down here, man, you if you was a boy and you start acting feminine like that, I got to admit, you caught the heat. You caught the heat. And some of them got jumped on. Now, I'm not saying it's right to jump on people. But what I'm saying is, at one time, it was very shameful to do that. It was. And now, you got people, they ain't caring. Women holding hands in public like a man and a woman. Men, hands on one another's behind in the public. No shame. America has just about literally looked God, quote, in the face and told him, we don't care what you say is wrong. What we say is right is going to be right. Now, if that ain't pride, what is, okay? And the devil, Satan, is in the corner like a cheerleader clapping. And at the same time calling America fools. I'm just going to be honest with you.
Because if anybody knows the lesson you're going to learn from being in sin and rebelling against God is Satan. He knows that lesson better than anybody that you could come across. Because guess what? He ain't in heaven with Jesus anymore, now is he? Him and his boys, him and his whole crew got kicked out of heaven. In fact, God didn't even straightway fight the devil because it wouldn't have been a fight. It was a mismatch. So God said, go on, Michael. Go on, take him out. Take him out. Throw him out, Michael. I want him out of here. And Michael, Mr. Cleanup Man, Mr. Cleanup Angel, the Warren Angel, Mr. We ain't coming to shake hands, we coming to do business, Angel, got him out of there. Got him out of there. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm going to pass my brother on here. Just remember what I told you. God bless you, brother. Amen. Be prepared.
Shalom. Okay. Got who I'm out?
Huh?
Got him out whom?
Got him out whom?
Lord bless you, my brother. God bless you for another day. Opportunity
God
to come.
God bless you, brother.
And we are about to see and to get a glimpse of the world. It's about all its entrappings and all of God's blessings being revealed in this hour. So thank God for another day and opportunities. This broadcast radio, we're talking the voice crying in the wilderness in the midst of a problem world, and what the Lord has provided the answer and solution for trouble, confused world. So we're grateful. This is Handmaiden tonight, and we celebrate the women of God and the mothers and ambassadors and wives, and of all, I think tomorrow or someday they're celebrating a Father's Day, and that's quite a subject. So how is the weather there, brother? Doing good and everything, huh? Down there in the right Mississippi?
Oh, yeah, you the bet. You'll have a whole lot of fun. It's like 90s, feeling like, as they say, humidity sometime almost close to 100. But it's looking like it's kind of cloudy. I don't know if you heard they talk about some tropical storm down this way coming toward the Gulf Coast. I've got the name of it. And they were talking about it hitting the Gulf Coast or landfall somewhere starting around in Louisiana. And they talking about looking for some rain, heavy rains tomorrow, starting tomorrow. So that's been the big news this way, brother.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're about to see quite a few of those, we call it layup natural events that are happening. There is a lot of hundreds and hundreds of storms and earthquakes we're about to see all over. And people are to be shaken up, as they say. And the shaking the earth. Awaken to the light and righteousness of Christ. So we've had it pretty warm today. Yesterday wasn't too bad. I mean, what was it, up to 80? No, we got up to 80-something. And I think Tuesday got a little cool, got up to almost 78. And so the Lord been allowing the weather to have a big change, big shaking. So the weather is a sign of some kind of spiritual things. So we've been, they said, the sun parts of the earth, they're having a great, a lot of stuff that's going on, sitting heat wave or something.
Yeah. Yeah, especially in these. It was the Southwest, and last I heard, the West.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, environmental changes. Environmental changes. So anyway, you were talking about what were you talking about?
Well, I'll just let them know. I don't know if you saw in the news back here. Probably about it may have been about three or four days ago. Burger King. It was titled that Burger King is saying Burger King was taking a swipe at Chick-fil-A. Now, you know, Chick-fil-A, you know, deal with a lot of chicken. You know, I don't know if you remember. Do you remember, brother, a few years ago when the owner of the Chick-fil-A said he was against same-sex marriage? And when he said that, remember the homosexuals said, well, we're going to come up with what they call Kiss a Chick Day. And they was going to go up in the Chick-fil-A's and just lock lips up in there. And you remember when the Lord intervened that Chick-fil-A had so much business and so many cars was lying about there that those folks didn't even pay attention to those people. But anyhow, fast forward to the past 2 or 3 days ago, they said Burger King was going to take a swipe at Chick-fil-A. I don't know if Chick-fil-A spoke up again against or what, but Burger King, you know, they don't just cook burgers. They cook chicken sandwiches too. And they're saying that the sale of their chicken sandwiches, they was going to donate the proceeds to the LGBTQ community, L-M-O-P or whatever you want to add on there, okay, community. And so I was letting the people know that this is the day that we have to come more into consecration with the Lord, because Satan is ramping up the intensity and our faith is going to be challenged more and more. And it ain't going to be by challenge because of your color or your gender. It's going to be by the faith, okay? You believing in Jesus.
Oh, okay. So we're having all these conflicts all over the earth over, you see, quite a few contention conflicts about social issues, educational, so-called historical markers, racist, governmental things, constantly conflicting with other people and groups, huh?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Well, Timothy and Paul talks about Timothy, how evil shall wax worse and worse. In perilous times, it's going to increase the intensity as nations come to an end of being fallen and taken away, that there will be a lot of hostility and difficulties and conflict and wars and groups, you know, just fighting, just angry, just Satan stirring up things, you know, all over there.
Amen. Amen, brother.
You're right. So these times have been prophesied and spoken of, which are not really, we're talking about any strange event. The Lord has spoken to all of the holy prophets since there was a world about these events that will occur as nearing his coming and nearing of the end of this age and end of all nations and Satan's rule, that we'll see all of these eruption in the earth. So the saints are the drawn nigh, because the day of the Lord is drawing near when Christ shall come. So these things shall increase, just like these natural disasters are increasing and evil is waxing worse and worse among men. And then we shall see on the other side the greatest harvest of the souls of men and the greatest move of the Lord Jesus, of the Holy Spirit moving in the earth. Together, the harvest of souls from all nations. So we expect both of these to see an increase of the hand of the living God.
Amen.
Yeah, and as we go, we'll see more demonic activity in the earth. We'll see more darkness confronting the light and truth, and we also see more angels activity. Angels of God is going to increase because the angels of the Lord will be busy. They have a lot a day of visitation from the Lord Jesus. So angels will play a major part in the victory and deliverance of those that believe the gospel. And so we're about to see and hear about much visitation of the angels of God. So we're going to see a lot of visitation of angels, because from the beginning of the world, all of the works of God was done primarily in creation. All of deliverance involved the angels of God and the working of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to see the same thing at the end time. I was just looking over, again, the most important subject that I ended on last week, truth of the whole, what we call the most important revelation and truth of the Bible and of God testifying and speaking to mankind after the fall of Adam death. Three words we talked about, the three parts of why the Bible exists, why God spoke to mankind, the living God revealed himself through Israel, how the law, the prophets, and what the most important message of the entire Bible, what's the most important message that reveals in what we call the abridged version of the Bible. So we look at the most important message the Lord uncovers and reveals to mankind. And that message tied up in these three terms: atonement, redemption, reconciliation. So if we read the Bible through and through and want to know why the Lord God spoke to mankind, it was to bring about the atonement, the redemption, and reconciliation of man back unto the Father. So as we look, and people want to know, what's the reason? What's the purpose? What's the beginning of the scriptures? It begins with the fall of man and the Lord's answer to recover and redeem man from eternal cut off presence from the presence of God. So the word atonement is the greatest revelation. The word redemption tied together is the greatest revelation of why the living God revealed himself to mankind in the earth. So people wonder, as they read scripture, what is God's purpose and plan of the Bible? Purpose is a fallen man cut off from the presence of God forever through Adam. And what is the plan of the Most High God? Through his knowledge, foreknowledge, what is the solution for the fallen of humanity? And it is the atonement through Jesus Christ and redemption, buying us back from Satan and the power of darkness, and reconcile us, as Ephesians says, and Colossians 1 says, and Ephesians 1, back to the Father. So if you were to think, there's two scriptures that came to mind a few minutes ago about the most scriptural revelation to all of humanity, the most greatest revelation why Yahweh spoke to Adam. And at that time, Elohim said to Adam, after he messed up and goofed up and fall, the greatest word and hope that the Lord Creator gave to Adam, the fallen man, is in chapter 3 of Genesis in verse 15. Now, that revelation that he gave to Adam after he fell and ate the forbidden of the bidden tree and came spiritual, separated from him, he gave him a promise of hope that there would be a deliverer and a redeemer. Genesis 3:15. That was the first promise of hope for mankind. Great promise, 3:15. And when he gave Adam, because of his fall, and he was cut off spiritually, and separated from the living God and from everlasting and from life, he was given a plan of redemption and hope for the fallen humanity. And he called it, as we go into Hebrew scripture, he called it the atonement, redemption, and reconciliation. Adam got the good news, and now we're passing this good news along. He said, I will send a redeemer. The Eternal Father, Elohim, said, I will send a redeemer. I will make man to know there's hope to be recovered and delivered from the curse of spiritual death, sickness, disease, poverty, and separation from God. I will have a plan. I will outfox the devil who caused the fall of man. I will act facts and I'll think and show you that I'm all wise. I had planned a way back for all humanity. And he gave them this hope. And this hope is still alive. Jesus Christ. Okay. You know, the greatest word we hear beginning at John chapter 1:29. You have, let me see. What is it? John 1:29? I'd like to read John 1:29.
John chapter 1, verse 29. Okay, the word of God says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which take away the sin of the world.
Now, everything in the Bible, what we call the book we refer to as the Bible, the Testament of the Lord speaking to man through the Hebrew Israelite nation, revealing his plan of deliverance for mankind, hinges on these words. Jesus coming to prove that his mission and purpose was fulfilled by the prophets that had prophesied about his coming, from Genesis 3:15 all the way, 3,000 years before, is spoken about this Redeemer, single person, this one that will make the atonement. Now notice what it says when Jesus cometh down to John the Baptist, who's his forerunner, to be baptized with water. And John is told by the Holy Ghost, the one that you see coming, that the Holy Ghost will be in the form of a dove, with light upon him as a witness that this is the one that you are to point to. All Israel are to point to. And when Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, cometh down to Jordan, John is crying out, repent, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Behold, he's at hand. And he sees Yeshua, Jesus Christ, coming, and he sees the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove, light upon Jesus as a testimony that this is the one. And what happened? He said, behold. Now, all the whole truth of the Bible evolves around this statement. Behold, the Lamb of Yahweh, the Lamb of the Eternal Father. Now, behold the Lamb that was promised before the world began and is now unveiled. Behold the man. Behold the atonement, the Lamb. Behold the sin answer, the Redeemer. Behold him, the Emmanuel promise. Behold him. He's here. He's come upon the earth as the Son of Man, as the Son of God, the seed of Abraham and of David. He's now appearing, and John, who is called Baptist, that's not his surname. They just, because he baptized Peter, they gave him the title Baptist, but that's not his name. He's not a Baptist. He just baptized people with water. He's John, the son of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Now, behold the Lamb of God. Now, any message on the earth today, any revelation of truth that revealed to man today that leaves out, does not point to the atonement of the promised Redeemer, if it's any message that doesn't lead there, you might as well call it false, because it doesn't lead there to the most important message of the Bible, which is called, we're going to find out, it's called in the New Testament, it's called the gospel. So anybody want to know what's the most important part of the Bible? It's called the gospel of Christ. The word called good news, glad tidings. And this is the good news, behold the Lamb. And this still is the good news. And John cries out, behold, the time had come which the whole world and all of Israel and all of, from Abel, from King of Salem, from Nor, from all the way, they was looking for this special one that he would come into the earth. There was only one that could redeem mankind. He was called the Redeemer, the Lamb, who makes a sin sacrifice, the atonement, to make a reconciliation, to buy us back out of darkness, out of the kingdom of darkness. We're doomed for eternal death and hell forever. Now, but the good news has walked down to Jordan in the form of a man, in as a seed of Abraham, out of the tribe of Judah. His name, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy Messiah of Israel. And John cries out with the witness of the Holy Spirit and from the Father from heaven that testifies at Jordan, this is the one that the whole world. Now, this is where we find out what's the true message in the earth. Out of all the many religions, which is at hundreds and thousands of them, the devil has raised up so many religions and so many deception, and in all the earth and all nations. And this separate this one thing separates everything from the fall. If it doesn't lead to the atonement, the Redeemer, if it doesn't lead to that, you can well, I want to say put it in the trash can, but I have to say, because it doesn't lead to the good news of the atonement and the redemption paid price by Christ Mashiach, if it doesn't lead there, then you know. What do you know? Well, let's see what John 3:16 says. What do we know? This what we know. How you divide darkness, how you divide light, how you divide all these religions and deception, you can divide them. This is the dividing line. When you talk about the atonement, the Redeemer, the Lamb who has been prayed from the foundation of the world to give his life, to redeem us from the curse. What curse? The curse of the law. The curse of Adam. What is the curse of Adam? When Adam fell in sin, a curse came upon all mankind. You have an idea what that curse was, brother? It fell upon all mankind through Adam?
Curse of death.
The curse of spiritual death and physical death, and the curse of eternal death. And also the curse of all the evil in the world, sickness, disease, oppression, fear, pain, sorrow, darkness, all of this fell because of Adam's sin. He brought that, he gave birth to all of that. We are to be redeemed. We were now in the hand of Satan. We're the children of God. We're in the children of darkness. We're in the kingdom of Satan, but we're the children of darkness and sin, and this curse of all of the children that came and born out of Adam, we are redeemed now. This curse, because that's what it is, a curse. People think, what is the curse? The curse of being separated, spiritually dead, separated, spiritually cut off, spiritually separate from the fellowship and the life of the living Creator. And then the sentence of eternal death, separation from God. But on our earthly, in our term, delivered with a curse of sickness, disease, plague, sorrow, grief, agony, toil, pain, poverty, oppression, famine, destruction, fear, all of this curse befall mankind. Fall upon man, all of human race inherit this through the fall of Adam and from Satan. Now, that's why I call Satan the author of death and confusion. Now, when John at Jordan over 2,030 years ago or so, at Jordan,
River Jordan, and in the Hebrew nation, said, "Behold the Lamb." There's no greater news that you're going to hear in the Bible concerning this point of doctrine. Behold the Lamb that redeems us from the curse of the fall of Adam and the curse of the law. Hallelujah. Nothing. Nothing more important. Nothing, anything in the Bible. The second thing is the resurrection. Christ's death, he buys us, redeems us, paid the price. The Father said you should surely die. So a man had to die for the sin that was committed. A judgment had passed. So Jesus became sin for us, became the sacrifice. Now, let's see. When we talk about how we divide all the evils from this world, how do we discern what's really true? We take it back to the atonement, the Lamb of God, the atonement of the Christ, and the redemption. There is no greater message in the Bible than the atonement or resurrection or the redemption of man. There's no, you know, if you could take those three things out of the Bible, you could throw the Bible away because you couldn't find any other message. The message leads, every message from Adam, from Abel, all the way to the end of the world. No message is more important called the gospel. Glad tidings. Glad tidings. What do it says in John 3:60? This revelation is capsized in this particular message that Jesus said, John 3:16, 25.
Why is that the most important message of the whole tent of the scripture and the Bible? If you take that out, you have nothing in the Bible. You just take that scripture out. Well, you just take the Bible and lay it on the coast, all the other stuff. It won't amount to anything because it must point to the atonement and the redemption and the reconciliation through the sacrifice of the Lamb of God. Now, 3:16 is the key scripture. Most people have heard this scripture because it's the key and the cornerstone of our faith. John 3:16, 17, 18 says what?
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God.
Did it say the name of the only begotten Son of the true and the living God? Now, you know, you hear a lot of things on radio and TV, the deception message. Jesus said in Matthew 24, talks about many false messages, many false religion, many false prophecy, many false messages will be in the last days. And he said, be so many. And so here's the thing that we divide. How do we divide from the first one? You notice what he said? The name of the only begotten. Did he say that the name of the only begotten?
That's right.
The name of the only. Now, that'd be kind of a little closed-minded because Miss Oprah Winfrey said there's many paths to want God, many paths to God. And Confucius says, and Islam says, and we can just go to tail and all the way back. The Hindus said they got 680 gods. Oh, everybody talking about there's many paths to this one God. We're all serving the same God. Well, I'm afraid that's one of the biggest lies that Satan has fostered in the earth, that we all serving the same one, the same God. Is that one of his, you think that's one of his biggest lies?
Yes, sir, brother. I really do. I really do.
So now people are told that any religion or any deity or any form of worship, it's all the same. It's all good. It all leads to the living God. Biggest lie, one of the biggest lies that Satan has fostered. This is like I said, all churches belongs to God. All religions belongs to God. All people belongs to God. Yeah, but here we're talking about who's going to be redeemed. Yeah, I mean, all earth and all humans originally came out of Adam, the fallen man. But who is eligible for redemption, eternal redemption? Now, we talk about we're talking this scripture and the revelation that Jesus came when he spake. And John talks about this true revelation being true from Genesis 3:15, the promise was made way to Adam, the Redeemer. Why is it that we just can't take anything and find redemption, brother? Why just we don't have to worry anything, everything? It just all lead to same God, don't it?
No, not by these other religious standards. But the true living God, the true word of God, we follow it, it'll lead us to him. Not with these other religions and their standards.
So any other revelation or deity or some sort of an idol or whatever taught about a deity that does not lead to the Lamb of God, to the one true, know that scripture said, the name of the only one, what? It's not many deities. That we got thousands of deities in here. And people worshiping all kind of stuff. And worshiping the nature, things created, things breaking. A man has made his gods and created about gold and silver and wood and trees and moon and stars and just worship everything. And it don't make any difference. Just worship anything. It don't make any difference, do it. Did he say the name of the only begotten? The name of the only?
That's correct.
Well, we had to go along with what we call the Ofrey Winfrey doctrine and Christian Science and Unity doctrine or whatever doctrine out there. It's all good, and it's all the same, isn't it?
No, they can have it, brother.
Well, maybe we go, let's look at Luke chapter 2, Gospel of Luke. And you know why the Bible, part of the Bible, the Gospel, is the most important part of the Bible? That everything that in the Bible does not come from God. When I say this, people get all upset. I say everything in the abridged version, what we call the book, is not God speaking to everything. God does not speak. Every word is not in the Bible is not the word of the living God. Let's separate and find out what the Lord really says, speak directly, what's part, which is called the Gospel. And as we read to Luke, chapter 2, beginning at verse 4.
Luke chapter 2, verse 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his spouse wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were so afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass that the angel.
The angels went back to heaven as they came and testified to these about the coming of this special one. They sang their song they were singing. And you know the part they say? The part in the scriptures and the prophets, and the whole point of the whole scripture is pointing to a particular event. They call it glad tidings of great joy. That's what they say?
Right.
There's a point in the Bible and an event and a time and an event that revealed itself that's called good tidings of great joy. Now, when you read the Bible, everything in the Bible is not good, good and glad joy. Everything God did not speak, and that is good tidings. There's all kind of things spoken in the Bible, but all of it is not good tidings of great joy. Now, we received the law through Moses and the prophets, but did you know that none of that would have saved us, would have redeemed us, unless it point to the atonement of the Lamb of God? And that part of the Bible, of revelation of God speaking to man through the Israelite, is called your only eternal hope of redemption is, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin curse of Adam. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, his only begotten son, only begotten son. And the angels in Luke testifies, unto you is born this day a great event, Christ Mashiach, the Savior, our Lord. And here is another testimony of the only hope. Isaiah 61 says, the same thing the angels in chapter 2 says, good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy. Glad tidings. So this message, which is referred to as the gospel of Christ, because all of the Bible is not good news, it's not glad tidings, and all the Bible is not God's word, and God did not speak every word that we have in the Bible. And so, but there's a part that way we receive direct revelation of truth, of the Lord speaking through the prophets, even through the law, and now Jesus himself is the word made flesh. People do not know that Jesus was the Son of God, and the word made flesh and dwell among us. Now, it's called glad tidings, great joy. Now, why is the gospel most important part of the book that we call the Bible? The book that we refer to as the testament of the Lord speaking to man through Israel, to all the world, to Israel, and to all the world. The book is a testament, a revelation, an instruction, a direction, and a voice of the Most High God speaking about man's fallen condition and how he needs to be redeemed from the Adam's curse and the curse of the law and the curse of their sins, iniquity. Behold the Lamb of God. Don't forget that. John said, behold. Did he say, behold, Confucius, brother?
No, he didn't.
We better go back and read. He might have said, behold, Confucius is all right. It don't make no difference. Go over. He said, he must have said, behold, Muhammad, Allah, didn't he? I'm sure he said something like that. Didn't he say something like that?
Not the John the Baptist we know. No way. That ain't half.
He didn't say the African God, the Confucian, the Buddhist God, the Hindu. Are you sure? He didn't say, behold, the Catholic God. The Mormons God, the Islam God. They're the biggest religions. And are you sure he didn't say, behold, their gods? Sure.
I'm positive, 100%.
So what did he say?
He said, behold, the Lamb of God.
So if we don't get back to the word lamb, the expression of the Lamb of Yahweh that would come, the Lamb of Elohim, the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, identifies how you're going to discern between false religion and the true and living God. Now, you know that you can believe in the Bible. Many people believe in certain parts of the Bible. Have you heard of people that believe in the Old Testament and don't believe in the New Testament?
Yeah, I have.
You heard of people that only believe certain parts of the Old Testament and none of the New Testament, and then you got a few people that believe certain parts of the New Testament and certain parts of the Old Testament. And do you know this? This is because they believe
in the Old Testament that that doesn't save them or redeem them? You know that people have knowledge about, they believe certain parts, but don't believe about Jesus died on the cross. You notice that certain parts, that was very tricky. You got some people believing some things, in it, but they don't believe the birth, the immaculate birth, nor the physical resurrection, nor the blood, the suffering of Jesus, and the resurrection. Now, explain what people get to see. Because when people testify, I believe in Jesus, they believe in Jesus. How do you decipher that? Because you find a lot of people say they believe in Jesus. But how do you decipher? Do they actually believe the part called the gospel of Christ? How do you
decipher that?
Do they believe in God giving his only begotten son for to bring forth the reconciliation and redemption of mankind and back to the Father? Do they believe in the atonement and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice?
Mm-hmm. So if they don't believe that Jesus was a sinless Lamb of God, sinless, Holy Ghost conceived Lamb of God, the Redeemer, without sin, without the sin nature, and that he suffered, paid the atonement, and redeemed us with his own blood from everlasting judgment, redeemed us with his own life, he rose again with power, and the third day loosed the captive and ascended to heaven. If they don't believe that part, then they'll feel all right, right? They'll still be okay, won't
they? Not by a long shot, brother. You know, for example, Charles Taze Russell, you know, people talking about, well, Jehovah's Witness Christian? I said, no. I said, for example, Charles Taze Russell said, the man Jesus is dead, forever dead. And the word of God said, if you believe in your heart that Jesus is raised from the dead. So if you're saying he's forever dead, you can't be saved by that.
Well, brother, we don't have to let that little thing like that. Well, what about the, the largest group in what we call, most of the nations recognize the Pope and Roman Catholic.
You kind of sound far away, brother.
Okay, can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you clear now.
Hello?
I can hear you good and clear now.
Okay, now let's go to another that you try to discern this. The largest organization in the world who claimed, said they are Christian, and they're the original head of the church, they call themselves Roman Catholicism, right? And the Pope, right?
Right.
Well, now what do they put their faith in? Is it the same thing that the Scripture said to get eternal hope? I'm trying to find out who believes the gospel of Jesus Christ and who's divided and who doesn't, who claim to be Christian. Just like you said, Charles Hayes or Taser Hayes, he represented a group called, Jehovah's Witness or something like that.
Right.
And
right.
But there was the largest group that claimed to be Christian. That's called the Roman Catholic Papal Power. So what about them? They're the largest group who claim to be the original church, and they're the only one, and everybody's heretics. What about them?
Well, like you said, that was just a claim. In fact, they even claimed that the church never fell away but continue on with them. But last time I checked, brother, Jesus did not have anybody bowing down worshiping Mary or any.
Well, you know, brother, the mother of God, we can worship her. That's the way of salvation. That's the gospel, isn't it?
No, there's day way of salvation, not Jesus' way.
Well, they're all right, the Roman Catholic. They're all right. They believe in the Mother God, they call it. And you could pray to Mother Mary in the hour of your death, and you'll get all right. You're okay. What else do the Roman Catholic put their hope of salvation? They're the largest claim to be. What else do they?
Well, they believe in the purgatory and Yeah, well, what they call, what, like the in-between place, you know.
I'm you know, interested in all these people, what they place in their salvation on, their return of deliverance. Because when you read, most of the world believe that the Roman Catholic Church is Christian-based, scriptural-based, gospel-based, Jesus-based. Do you know most of the world believe that?
There you go. Amen.
And this is the great deception. Most of the nations, most of even the Christians believe that the Roman Catholic Church and the papal power and their belief and their doctrine is what Jesus taught, and it would bring salvation. And so all they have to do is take their cracker and confess their sin to the Pope and look to Mary and pray to the dead saints and just be sprinkled and come to the Pope and do your confess, and that they can base their hope of faith on these things. And isn't that sufficient?
No, sir.
Well, let's go to the second largest group call itself Christian. Then we go to the first whole religious group in the world called Islam. Now, Islam is considered to be the single largest, one of the most powerful group, a religious group in the world. And so, and Hinduism and Buddhism and Taoism and some of the Africans and Philippine gods and all of these different deities. Now, when I read them, Christian Science or whatever, Unity, and all the, these are the larger ones. When I read through them, how do I determine whether they really and truly is the teaching of the Redeemer, the teaching that he told his original apostles, and the teachings of how man is going to be redeemed and the atonement and be reconciled to God. Now, when I read these different groups, I got a choice to make, to believe what Jesus and the apostles taught or believe what they taught. You got a choice.
Amen.
Now, I want you to read something here because this is how the great deception has flooded the earth. Because you ask the average person the way to eternal redemption and deliverance and hope, they say the Catholic Church is just as good as anybody else. The Mormons just as good as any other. I said, do you know what they believe and what they stand on? Well, I mean, they all believe in God. No, believing in God don't get you eternal life. Do you know a lot of people just, oh, you have to believe in God and you have eternal life? They ask to believe that. It doesn't make any difference.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That's not really scriptural true. See how many so many people are going to be deceived and are being deceived? Now.
Amen.
Ask the average person, the Mormons, the Roman Catholics, Christian Science, Jehovah's Witness. It's all good, brother. Don't be against no other religion. You got to be talking against them. I'm not talking against them. I'm just saying, do they believe what Jesus taught, called the gospel, and what he laid down in his life? Do they believe actually the fullness of the gospel? That's all I'm asking. But they got Islam. There are a billion people. You can't say that against them. Oh, yeah, okay. Now, let's go to 1 John. I just want to put this in about the importance of knowing the atonement of the living God of Christ and the redemption and the resurrection from the dead. Now, John, what is that? Is that 2? I mean, I don't have a Bible. 1 John 2 and 22, what is that? And 1, John 2 and 22.
What you looking for?
1 John 2, or is it 2:22, about believing what our belief should be? You said 1 and 8, chapter, second epistle of John, 1 and 8, or 2 and 22, or 1 and 22. What is that?
2:22 says that who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son.
Now go and read that again, but start a verse above that.
Okay. He said, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lies are the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is an antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whosoever denies the Son, the same have not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also.
Now, what is he saying there? You're reading from, what, 2:22?
Yeah.
Okay.
1 John 2:22.
What did he say in verse 8? Is that verse 8 in chapter 1 and 2?
Chapter 1?
You should have that. You should have that marked down in your Bible and go straight to it. And what John taught, how we're going to divide, separate, discern. All right. Now, he that believeth that God sent not his own beloved Son. This is where we get off. What then he sent is, as we go into the scripture from the beginning of the Old Testament, we use them as a teaching tool or a symbol telling us how man is going to be redeemed. He gave it to Adam about a lamb had to be slain, right? A goat had to be.
Amen.
The priest had to put his head on the goat and sprinkle the blood over the altar on the goat, and the goat would run into the wilderness, and the priest would slay him. The high priest in Israel had to, once a year, had to get a lamb, and they had to bring a lamb and offer it to cover the sins of Israel for a whole year. That's the only way their sins could be covered, and the only way they could get redemption and the stay of execution. The stay of execution would not hit them as long as they get the blood lamb, the lamb. Now, all the way through the Bible, you see this blood and this offering. And people don't understand, why is they making all these animals sacrifice lamb and goat? In order for them not to be executed, nor the wrath of God come against sin, he would see the blood, and he'll give them a stay of execution for a whole year. Now, the blood in all in the Old Testament. Why is all this blood? Sprinkling this blood. Where's the sisters at? Any sisters online here?
No, not yet. Maybe
okay.
In a minute, though, since you made the call, brother.
Let's move on. They haven't come on yet. I guess we got to move on then. All right. Now, notice in the Old Testament, from Abel, it talks about a sacrifice. They had to offer a animal sacrifice. Why is this continue offering up this sacrifice on the altar? In the Hebrew teaching, when the law came, it talks about in order for it to be blessed and be God's special covenant people, there had to be a blood, an animal altar, slain, killed. There had to be a high priest to offer up sacrifice for the sins of the people for a nation for a whole year. It's a way for the people to get covered for their sin. They had to bring an offering and a sacrifice and offer to the priest to be slain for their sins to be forgiven. So what is this all this blood stuff about?
This blood is pointing towards the sacrifice, and the sacrifice is for the atonement and the redemption of mankind.
Now, what is the atonement about? What is this atonement for? What is this atonement for and redemption from? Why couldn't we get atonement and redemption some other way? All these other religions and all the other teachings of a God, they all good, aren't they? Aren't they all good?
It doesn't make
a difference.
It does. It makes a difference. It makes a difference because...
Does it make any difference?
Yes, sir, it does.
Well, yeah.
I mean...
Well, most definitely.
Really?
Yes, sir, it makes a difference.
Why is the world in such confusion about this?
The world is in such confusion about this because John 1, second chapter, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of a truth. People rather, I'll say, believe in what they want to believe in. And the word says you believe in a lie that the Lord will turn you over to that. And what they've been taught, and they don't search or seek or try to find out any difference about what they are being taught, Islam, Catholic, whoever, if they search out and seek out, and actually they can even, in sincere, with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, go to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for yourself, because the scriptures tells us that we have that right now, that we can go to him for ourselves.
Well, what about all these other nations? Other nations all the world who are not what we call in America and that heard the gospel of Christ over and over again, these many nations and all the world. Now, why is it that the Elijah, the messenger of the covenant, one of his main goals is to restore everlasting gospel? Now, notice they talk about the priesthood, but they leave out the importance of the everlasting gospel. Now,
yes,
you can talk about priesthood, but if you do not nail that together with the everlasting fullness of the gospel, then there's no real foundation for men to stand on. This is why you see an angel comes in this day, Revelation 14:6, it says to preach the everlasting what? Religion? Everlasting church?
The gospel.
Or the everlasting gospel? What does it say in Revelation 14:6? Why is the everlasting gospel has to be restored? Not the gospel of men, of religions, or traditions, but the everlasting gospel. Now, if the angel Elijah is to come in the last day, 17, restore all things, why is the importance of knowing the everlasting gospel is the most important part of his mission, is one of the most important parts of John restoring all things? Because that's all kind of looked over a little bit.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Okay, he has to restore the everlasting gospel because there have been created so many other gospels. That's why so many different churches of different religions, because the real gospel has been polluted. And so in this day, as it states in Revelation 14:6, that, and I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, because the true gospel of Jesus Christ has been polluted. It has been distorted and lied.
Okay, right. And a lot of errors and traditions of men and all of that, right? And there's some good Christian people who believe in part of the gospel. You know, that's part of true Christians that believe in not all of the gospel. You know that some churches believe in certain parts of the truth and another part and a third part and a fourth part, but they don't believe in the rest of it. You know that?
Amen.
Amen.
So what we're going to do about a half dress, you're going to see with a half of a dress or one-third of a dress. That's all right, isn't it? You don't need a whole complete skirt or dress part off and just put on one third or one fourth. Is that all right, sister?
No, sir, that's not all right.
No, it won't fit.
Wait a minute now.
That's not all right.
When you build a house or a temple, you can leave out part of the foundation, isn't it? Sure, you can leave out part of the temple.
That's not all right.
Don't follow.
I can bake her cake and leave out the sugar, too.
We can leave 11 out and all of that. But what if God made you right leg?
I can't hear you.
You're kind of going low, brother. You're going low. Got about 8 minutes.
Okay, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, we can hear you too now.
What if the Lord just made you with one arm and left out your right leg? That would make a lot of difference, wouldn't it?
Yes, sir. It would make a lot of difference. Thank God.
How would you think if he originally made you one eye in the center of your head, like you see the Cyclops on the TV, with one eye, okay?
It ain't going to work, bro. It ain't going to work.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't go, huh? So all these things do matter. Now, there's some people, as we go along, even though they believe that Jesus died and rose again, but they don't believe any further. Now, here's the problem about restoring the everlasting God in this fullness. Do you know that everybody don't believe in the fullness of the gospel that Jesus preached, not the fullness?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Do you, and this is important, that we build on the foundation that Christ laid. You know, some people believe that all you got to do is just be baptized, shake the preacher's hand, and go to church. That's all.
Some believe that.
Okay. What do you think the parts that we leave out concerning the foundation being conformed and being knitted together fully because he gave us a ministry? In the fourth chapter of Ephesians, why do you think he gave the apostles? He gave fivefold ministry for them to complete. So the ministry of the apostles, then he gave us four other ministry. Well, what did he give us in order to make, in the fourth chapter, what did he give us? Fivefold ministry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Apostles.
Well, we don't need the other ministry. Mm-hmm. We don't need that ministry, and we don't need this. So we don't need no spiritual warfare stuff. We don't need no intercessors now. Where we don't need no prophetess. We don't know prophetic calling. We don't need the healing deliverance men, the casting out demons. We don't need none of the teachers. We don't need all that. We don't need none of that. We just get one part of it, and we recognize the other way. It's just like going. So the gospel is just. Yes, the gospel is totally complete. All you got to do is be baptized with water or something like that, and we don't have to go to the rest of it, and that's not necessary.
It is necessary. It's part of the restoration.
Well, what about the messenger saying Pentecost must come in Message 85? Why nobody talk about Pentecost must come, Message 85 and 30? Why is that nobody and mostly from 1929 – and the messenger comes in Message 85 and verse 30 and 33 said Pentecost must come. Somebody, we're going to end that. Why is it he come from heaven to tell us something that's in the Bible about Pentecost must come? Anybody want to answer that before we get out of here? Who had a comment? Why you got to tell the Elijah message after 50 or 60 years they don't know that?
Well, they don't know that, and Pentecostal must come in order for the perfecting of all of the gifts that he has already said, edifying the body of Christ and the knowledge, and even goes on to raising the dead, healing the sick, and all of that. Pentecost must come. It's a spiritual place that you have to be in order to obtain the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay, is Sister Helen in there somewhere? Is she on or is she busy?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, I ain't heard nothing from you. I thought you were going to Australia.
Okay, no, I'm here. Yeah, the great outpouring the Holy Spirit. And, you know, he said Pentecost, you know, must come, you know, in a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you know, that we might be able to obtain that spirit and that power, you know, Elijah, to be able to go forth and do the same work, you know, that the apostles of old, you know, done in their day and time. And it's a great infillment of the Holy Spirit. A greater infillment of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Why do you think that's not highlighted in the restoration or in the, like, why that's not highlighted? Why do you think it's not highlighted?
You know, because sometimes, you know, because a lot of people, they believe that was for in Jesus' day, you know, the greater power and the working of miracles and the laying on of hand and, you know, and healing the sick. And, you know, and a lot of them believe, you know, that it was done away with and that it's there, you know, just to show us, you know, what happened in that day and time. And so okay. They do not know how to apply that, you know, for today.
Okay.
Knowing
okay.
that the work of
okay.
God is just amen to the believer.
Well, the early church was founded, and no other foundation can any man lay. Then it was a must to them, right? Was it a must? You go back to Acts 2, it was a must. Okay, if it was a must for them, it's not a must for us, right?
It's a must.
Okay. No. It's not a must for God to change his plan. Just like he originally man with two legs, but now in 2021, we don't need two legs anymore. It's done away with, right? Since he made man with two legs and two eyes, we don't need that no more. He's done away with it. He's done away with the physical body. He's done with the spiritual body because both spiritual and body go together. Okay. So as we close, here is as we pray. And instruct to all people in every nation, wherever you are, wherever country, wherever you are. If you have a Bible, if you don't have a Bible, if you've never heard about the atonement and redemption and the death and the suffering and the resurrection of Jesus, that has to you your place of deliverance and salvation. And today you can make a decision about eternity with God and being made right with God through Jesus Christ, who was your Redeemer. He welcomes you to come a part of his family, his redeemed family. So make a choice today. And you can start, and it's an act of faith and confession. You believe that he died and rose again. Simply today, we tell you, if you just believe that his blood was atoned for your sins and he rose on the third day, and you can begin to say, Lord, I believe it. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that you died and rose again for my sins and my salvation and deliverance. I believe it. I accept it. I confess it. And I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. I trust you today. I put my faith in you, in your death, burial, and resurrection, that your blood atoned and paid the price for my redemption. And I put my trust and faith in you. Come live your life in me. Dwell in me. I trust you that I'm redeemed from my sins, from curse of death, sickness, disease, and poverty. I thank you, Lord. Now, if you believe that today and you go and get baptized in Jesus Christ and seek for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you're on your way to victory as a part of the kingdom of God. We love you with the love of God. We pray that you'll be blessed by this word. Jesus really loves you, and he's coming back soon. But also remember this, Elijah must first come and restore all things.
Thanks. Amen.
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 Praise the Lord. Don't forget, tomorrow night, another heart-to-heart, 7 o'clock, look for the advertisement then. And we thank God once again for all you've been listening. As for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Anderson, Sister Tia. God bless you. God keep you. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.
Amen. God bless. Amen.